This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's really like to manage luxury cars, fly in private jets, or navigate the world of ultra-luxury travel? Well, my guest today, Rob Ferretti, doesn't just live in that world, he thrives in it. From renting Lamborghinis to dealing with the wealthy, Rob pulls back the curtain on what it truly takes to operate at the intersection of wealth, travel, and high-end experiences. But here's the thing, even if you don't live a life of luxury, this episode has something for you. Regardless if you're navigating points and miles or just curious about the jet set lifestyle, Rob's insights offer valuable lessons and a fresh perspective. Also, before we dive in, I do want to apologize for the audio quality on my end for this episode. I didn't realize until after recording that my computer was picking up sound from my laptop instead of my podcast mic. Thanks for understanding, and trust me, you won't want to miss this one.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome, everybody, to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. I am your host, DeAndre Koch. We have a excellent treat for you guys today. I'm super excited. And this is going to be pretty unique. So we are going to be talking with Rob Ferretti, who is an expert in the luxury car and travel space. And I know we talk about points and miles travel, business class travel, using points. This is going to be on another level. Reason why is because Rob's got an expertise with not just first class, but private jets. You want to rent a Lamborghini here or somewhere on the other side of the world? He's the person to talk to. He's got a YouTube channel with almost 900,000 subscribers, and this guy is the expert. And so we're going to have a very, very different show today. We're still going to cover points and miles, but we're going to talk to a different world. And we know that with our listeners, we have a good mix of people. We have individuals that are business owners. We have people that are financial advisors like myself that listen to the show, and they have clients that are very wealthy. And so we have clients that are in that space of kind of high-end, super luxury travel. But we also know that we have plenty of listeners that are not in that space, and that's okay too. Maybe more of the, you know, family living on a single income, the stay-at-home mom that uses points and miles to still get away and experience great things. That's okay. I think there's going to be something for everybody here. And so whether you're in the space of luxury travel or not, I want you to stick through, listen to the episode, because I think you're going to gain a lot of knowledge from Rob. So Rob, welcome to our show today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. It's a great opening.
Absolutely. Thank you. So Rob, I'd love to understand first, before we get into travel and points and miles and all the things, love to hear your background, right? Where in the world are you currently? What do you do for a living? And we'll start there.
Sure. Yeah. So I live in North New Jersey. I'm just outside New York City. It's where I was sort of born and raised. I live now a couple of miles from where I was born and grew up. So I grew up in a small town called Dumont, like lower middle class suburb of New York City. And I was one of those guys, no trust fund, no net worth. I just sort of figured it out and worked my way up the chain. And through that, I understand the value of a dollar. I think I'm going to be a fairly informative and relatable person to the podcast. because I've done the Spirit Airlines and the Frontier, and I still do Spirit Airlines and Frontier, but I've also been on private jets. And I've done the first class travel, and I've done the give me a basic economy seat. So I've got the whole spectrum. I know where there's value, where there's not value. A lot of people have this perceived value that because you put on your Instagram that you're flying in a private jet makes you any better than anyone else. Doesn't really mean, just means some people are worse with money and some people have rich friends. So it doesn't really mean it's the best way to travel. I'm happy to walk you through all that. I actually went from having no business. I was carrying golf bags when I was younger, working at the golf course. And now I just started up my fifth business, which I'm about to launch. Back in the early 2000s, I started the business making like street racing DVDs. And that turned into a YouTube channel ultimately, which is what you've seen now. I've got YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok. From there, I went and started an exotic car rental company with just a buddy of mine. And that was sold in 2016. That ended up falling through after 2 years. They defaulted on us. We went into arbitration, won a seven-figure judgment, which I'm never going to see. And then I started up another company because we were smart enough to do, and during that earnout, to not actually sell the company.
Smart.
So it took a 5-year earnout before we ended up transferring the actual, the valuable assets of the company over to them for $10. So I still am in the exotic car rental space. At one point in time in 2016, we had locations in Miami, New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Vegas. Now I just focus on the Northeast. And I help out in California with partners that I have out there. But for the most part, I just focus on New York, DC, Philadelphia, Boston. So that's our primary market. After that, I started when I was building my house, I started renting machinery. So I rent like soil screeners with the contractor that was working there. That's actually a super profitable and great business. And we're just renting out these big steel machines. I have a travel company that I started in 2015. It's called Adventure Drives. That is a company that puts on bucket list travel experiences several times a year for car enthusiasts. It's generally geared towards people that already own sports cars or are into that sports car realm. But it also, we do a lot of European travel as well. So it's cost prohibitive to ship your car over to Europe. We've only had like one person ever ship their car over, and it was like an Alfa Romeo that he just wanted to drive his own car, when he could have rented the same car for 25 cents on the dollar for what it cost him to ship his car over there. So a lot of people, you don't have to own a sports car to do these things. Even if it's cost prohibitive, if we're doing a 4 or 5 day trip, some people may just rent locally a sports car or something like that in lieu of shipping their car on a truck back and forth. And then the final business I just started, which is launching Q4 of this year, is a luggage company. And that's called Flipside Luggage. And that company, I was looking for a new suitcase because I do travel a lot. I probably travel 6 to 10 days a month. And it was time for me to get a new suitcase. And I was like, oh, let me just find one that does this. And I couldn't find one that did what I was looking for. So I was like, all right, well, somebody must be sleeping on the patent. So because I'm a curious guy. So I started looking and nobody had the patent on it. I'm like, that's weird. So I developed one and it cost me like 60 grand to make one bag. But I'm like, well, if I'm going to spend 60 grand to make this bag, at least it gets me my bag, but I'm also going to figure out how to sell these things. So that company, Flipside Luggage, is launching Q4 of this year. And it is launching with its first product, which is a carry-on, which opens from both sides. And there's a movable partition in the center, so you can have a clean side and a dirty side. So when you get back from your trip, take the clean stuff, put it right back in your drawer. Everything else goes in the wash. But also, if you're a guy or somebody like me, you don't have to smell the 3 white shirts that you brought or something like that to figure out.
You don't
have
to do the smell test to figure out.
There's no system. You're not stealing laundry bags from the hotels. If you smoke a cigar, or if you smoke something, you can put that clothing on the dirty side and it doesn't ruin the rest of your suitcase if you are traveling to different destinations. So there's 100 different ways people can implement it, but it's simply a high-end luxury suitcase that separates your clean and your dirty laundry. Without the gimmicks, right? No chargers. You can't drive it through the airport. There's nothing fancy about it, except it's made in the same company or the same factory as, I won't mention the names, but a lot of $1,000+ carry-ons. I was able to network my way through the industry which is, that's a good thing about having a big YouTube channel. I was able to get the right contacts, and it's made side by side with some really big players. So the quality is there, and I'm excited to launch that come probably shipping the first week of December.
Awesome.
So there's my background.
No, that's robust. I love how you talk about your start, right? So your start was like, hey, I was carrying bags, decent golf bags, right? Yep. As a kid, didn't come from anything, like didn't have a trust fund, right? You've built your wealth, built your success, and you're on your YouTube channel, right? I mean, you are surrounded by people's dream cars, the Lamborghinis, the Ferraris, the Aston Martins. I mean, you've got the Range Rovers, we need higher than that. I mean, you've got,
Pagani, Koenigsegg.
Exactly. You've got cars that are more expensive than most people's houses, which is really cool that you've built that. But let's take it back and talk through the travel side a little bit, sure. Right? You just mentioned, you know, the private jet and Instagram look of, I'm on a private jet. And I'll be honest with you. Yeah, the private jet experience is fun, right? The ability to get in a car, you pull up to the tarmac, the plane's waiting, and you just take off, right? There's no security check. That's a really cool experience. But realistically, let's talk. How often do you think either you or even those that you know that are in the high-end wealth space are flying private versus just, you know, doing first class or business class or whatever it may be?
I mean, most people don't. Objectively, to actually fly like a private jet as your main mode of transportation, I would say you need to be like liquidity of like over $30 million. Anyone doing it below that, I think is pretty much wasting their money. To use a private jet as the primary means of travel, and I know people that have them, you're talking millions of dollars a year, $3 to $5, $6, $7 million a year and that's not even factoring in the depreciation of the plane or anything like that. That's just the cost of having this plane, fueling it, staffing it, and traveling the world. And it's not a cheap play. And to do that, you need $20 to $25 million in recurring revenue every year to even think about justifying that. Because you have to be, and that's the reason I say that, is you have to be sitting on enough wealth that you never have to worry again. And you never have to worry about like working again in your life. And if you've got enough passive income coming in where now you're just figuring out creative ways to spend money, go ahead and fly a private jet. Otherwise, a private jet's an absolute waste of money. It's for somebody to go out there and have a mortgage on their house and then also fly in a private jet makes no sense to me. Like, I'm not a financial advisor, but you can start doing the math. Like, if you're paying any interest for anything ever, you should not be flying private. Now, the step below that would be flying first class, right? And first class has its values, but I would always recommend not locking yourself into one airline and then just paying whatever they're looking for. Because flying first class is a much better experience, admittedly. But flying first class without spending more than you're spending for the rest of your trip is even better. And that's where the points and miles come in. And that's where getting creative when booking versus I'm going to Germany next month, and I'm looking at, it's like $7,000 for the first class ticket to go to Germany on the flight that I'm on United. That makes no sense to me. Like that's the biggest waste of money. I'd rather sit in the back of the plane, and it's what the Delta is, right? If it was $6,000 for your economy ticket and $7,000 for first class, so then go ahead, splurge the extra $1,000. But the Delta is for the one way tickets, probably $450 or $500 because $1,000 round trip for economy. $450, you're talking a $6,500 Delta for me to be a little bit more comfortable for 7 hours.
Right.
I mean, if you think about the value of money and how far that money will go anywhere else, I could get 70 massages or whatever, 35 massages during the course of my travels to make up for that awful 7 hours in the back of the plane. Where, like, so, I mean, it's all objective, right? And like I coming from nothing and not just like being born rich, all you know how to do is spend money. But when you're building wealth over time, you have to realize where there's value and where there's not value and how to maximize the return on what you're spending. And a lot of people are too into what other people think. And regardless of what the reality is, they want you to think they're successful. They want you to think they've got all this success and wealth and all these cars. And that's part of why I have a business renting exotic cars, right? Everybody, like, they rent the car. It's the first thing you do. You see their Instagram and they're flashing a watch, whether it's real or fake, and with the steering wheel, and check out my Lambo. Or it's, you tend to, once you're in the space long enough, you can see through that very quickly, and you realize where there's value and where there's not in life. So
no, that's perfect. I think that's great. So when, let me ask you this. So are you typically, I mean, there's a lot of different strategies on using points and miles to fly first class or business class, you know, more so long haul. How do you typically go about doing it? Are you spending the time to get the best, you know, redemption possible? Are you more so saying, you know what, I'm going to pay cash for economy and use my points to upgrade? Or are you, not really trying to think about it too much and just using the chaser? Okay, go for it.
It really is depending on my mood and depending on what I'm doing. Like, if it's an overnight flight, like, I generally won't look for a first class seat on a flight where I intend on being awake the whole time. Right. Like, the only benefit to a lay flat bed is if you're going to be going somewhere where you plan on sleeping and then you want to start your day and have a fresh start. And right, there is value to getting some sleep, but that value is not $7,000. But that value to me is $1,000, $500, whatever it is at the time. But then also I'll fly the lower end or the non-mainstream U.S. airlines, and you'll generally get better options on European airlines, like a Neos Air or an SAS. And what I'll do is I'll bid on the upgrade. So, and I did that. I actually made the mistake when I was going to Norway. I bid on the upgrade thinking I was just bidding for myself. I didn't realize it bid for everyone on my ticket. So I ended up like upgrading everybody. I'm like, hey, everybody wins. Like, but it wasn't intentional. But so I had the staff members that were with me ended up flying in lay flatbeds as well, and they had the time of their life. But I ended up getting those upgrades, and I didn't think they were going to clear because I did the upgrade bid early. And when you do it early, they ask for less. As it gets closer to the flight, they start asking, well, the low bid is $850 now. And I think I bid like $600 a seat or something like that, because that was their minimum bid. And that was to go from economy to lay flatbed first class. And you fast forward, and like the day before the flight, I'm like, oh, let me see if I can up my bid a little bit just to, because I want a lay flat bed. And it was up to like $900 minimum bid. And I'm like, yeah, whatever, I'm out. I'm like, it's not worth it. I'll just sit in the back with my staff. And then like I all of a sudden it clears all three. And I'm like, oh, but it cleared all three at the $600 that I previously bid. So I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's like win for everybody. I wasn't expecting to splurge on everybody, but I'm now, and that was a flight when I booked it was like $400 round trip or something. It was some like incredibly cheap airfare going to Europe versus $1,800 if I was to fly United, which I would normally fly because there's a hub over here. So I'll gladly save. I was already saving $1,400 a flight. Now, theoretically, even for less money, we got to fly first class there and then economy back for less money than it would have been for an economy ticket on a United flight. And SAS, they have an espresso machine. Like most airlines don't have espresso machines. I love espresso. Look at this. I was drinking an espresso before we started. And like, I don't drink coffee, but I go on an airline and they had good whiskeys. They had good an espresso machine. I was in heaven for at least those 7 hours. So that was worth it. But I'll generally like use points when possible. When we're talking about getting the best redemption, it's all about keeping your options open and not being like, the more options you have, the more value you can get for your money. And when people go into something and say like, I'm only flying Delta, well, then you're restricted to what Delta is offering you. If you're saying like, look, I'm not loyal to any airline, because the airlines really aren't loyal to you, right? They'll just keep upping the expenditure. They'll give somebody who signs up for a credit card for $300, guess what? They got the same status as you now. And it's like, that's frustrating. And I understand you're making money off of them, but like I'm flying 10,000 miles a year on your airline and you're giving me this status. And that guy just signed up for a credit card while waiting on the tarmac. And now he's going to board the plane at the same time as me and get the same benefits. It's not really, the loyalty is not really there. And then they keep jacking up the minimum spends. I think United's up to like $6,000 or $7,000 for any reasonable, and that's qualifying dollars. It's not even total spend. So you go on an airline, you spend like my $1,100 ticket to Europe next month. I think only like 450 of it is a qualifying spend. The rest is taxes and duties and fees. And so I'm getting 450 qualifying dollars for flying back and forth to Oktoberfest in Germany. So you have to look at what the airlines give. And if you don't have the loyalty to any specific airline, it opens up a world of opportunity for you to get a better value and a better experience for each specific flight.
So when you talk about not being loyal to any one airline, that typically means then you don't focus on airline branded cards, right? Like the Delta Reserve card or the American Airlines card. So let me ask you, what is your strategy? What do you try to load up on to rack up the points? And then my follow-up to that is, do you go through the Chase or Amex portal for these points, or do you actually go ahead and transfer to the airlines to use them?
So that's a good question, because I do a lot of like food and entertainment and travel. So I have a Chase Sapphire Reserve. That I think is probably your best bet for like an Amex or a Chase Sapphire Reserve, probably your two best travel cards. They give me 3 points for every dollar I spend traveling.
Yep.
So that's sort of a home run right there to begin with. They give you car rental protection for cars up to $125,000. So you can waive all your car rental protections when you travel. There's no deductible on that. And then they give you like a 1.5 times multiplier on the redemption. So, or you can transfer 1-to-1 from the Chase Sapphire to any of the airline partners. So where I fly to Europe and I get 400 like airline miles for flying to Europe, or 1,000 airline miles for flying to Europe, I go out to dinner and I get 3,000 miles. So when I'm going and looking, and I'll always search for the flights as to what the flight costs and what the points and miles cost for the same flight. And if I see something beneficial where it could be like a $1,400 flight, but they may ask for 120,000 points and then $60, that makes much more sense, because 120,000 points was really $40,000 worth of spend times three. And then I transfer it right over. And that would be a significantly less. If I redeemed it 1-to-1 or for whatever the cash value was, it's significantly less than the money it's saving me on the flight.
Right. Right.
So it's all, you can play games with the points is the key.
You can. So, but I'm curious if you know within the circles that you operate, right? So you're dealing with individuals that have extremely high net worths. They've got a lot of liquidity, people that can cash flow a private jet. So their liquid, as you said, is 30 million or more. Do you see them, maybe, you know, they're flying private a lot of times, but do you see them using points, bothering with points and miles, or do they just pay cash for everything because they don't have to think about the expense?
I mean, the people I know in that realm usually have their assistants dealing with that stuff. They're not sitting there on the beach like wondering how to maximize their points. They don't care, and they'll spend $500,000 in a birthday party. So like it's that sort of wealth, but I don't deal exclusively with those people. I mean, just because I'm in a high-end industry doesn't mean, I would say that's the 1% of my customers.
Okay.
I say a lot of people are much more normal people. They're well-to-do. I mean, obviously renting a car for $500 to $3,000 a day and or spending anywhere between $5,000 and $25,000 a week to go on one of my travel trips, that's not for the light-walleted. So like people have money throughout the spectrum, but you don't have to have $30 million to spend $25,000 on a vacation for a week. You may spend $25,000 a night for a villa somewhere. So there is that whole range. I focus traditionally more on the lower end of it, the more normal people, if that makes sense.
It does.
But those people are very cognizant of how they spend and if there is a discount to be had or how they can maximize their the use of their money. Like, hey, if I can I prepay for the mileage? Because you give 100 miles per day, but I'm going to be driving like 300 miles over 2 days. Can I get a discount for prepaying in the mileage? You do get a lot of stuff like that where they're not necessarily haggling, but they're seeing where they can get a little bit more value out of the equation.
Hey, it's DeAndre here, and we're going to interrupt this episode real quick to tell you about two great opportunities for all of you. First, join our private Facebook community to connect with fellow points and miles enthusiasts, get exclusive tips and updates, as well as get your questions answered directly by me and others in the community. And if you're looking to level up your points and mile skills, we've partnered with Lux Travel Hacks to offer you 50% off their online course that will teach you all the basics you need to know to learn how to travel in business or first class, all for less than you'd pay for economy. Don't forget to use the code BOLDLYGO at checkout. You'll find all the details and links to both of these in the show notes. Now, let's get back to our episode.
So I want to go ahead and pivot a little bit, right? So you talked about the rental car space, and you're in the specifically the exotic high-end luxury rental cars. And I'm a car aficionado myself. I own a high-end performance car also. So I'm very in tune with that world. And I know that as a business owner, right, there's the opportunity to have high business spends, especially when you're in the business that you're in yourself. So I'm very curious, do you try to maximize your use of points and miles with your business spend? That's my first question kind of in this space.
Sure. I mean, whenever I have the opportunity to pay on a credit card, I do. If there's no penalty in which to do so, I like to rack up the miles because you're getting a return on that. You're banking them. And the use of the miles is different. I don't know when I'm going to use it, but I use it when it's efficient. But as far as wiring people money or writing checks, if they give me the opportunity to pay with a credit card for the same money, I'll do that 100% of the time.
Got it. So in the luxury and the exotic rental car space, I'm very curious because I know you do trips with vehicles. I mean, you rent out vehicles. You have clients of all sorts of calibers. Now, I know from personal experience that the exotic rental space is kind of the wild, wild west a little bit. For someone listening to this, maybe for themselves, they say, you know what, I would love one day to rent a Lamborghini or a Ferrari or whatever it may be. How do you help them people avoid the pitfalls? Now, obviously, they can go right to you, right? But maybe they're in some other part of either the world or the country and they don't have access to route. How can you help them and if someone wants to go in that direction?
I mean, the key is there's a lot of operators that operate in the space because it's a very sexy space, but it's also not very well regulated. So you have a lot of people renting cars that they don't own the cars, they don't have the proper insurance, and you can go and it's like staying at like an illegal hotel, right? You can go have a good experience and it's like, oh, okay, like I seem like I got a value there. But it's when something goes wrong is the problem. And that's why you want to deal with a legitimate company. You can generally sniff out illegitimate companies because they'll advertise every car. Oh, we rent Bugattis, we rent this, we rent that. And clearly they can't have such, if you've never heard of them or they've got 6 reviews or 100 fake Google reviews, you can sort of sniff out that they don't actually own the cars. One way to see if they own all the cars is if you go to their website and all the cars photographed are in the same place. That's a much better indicator that they own these cars, right? They've got the same background on all their photos. If they have a bunch of stock photos from like Ferrari's website or Google or like random dealership photos, you're going to realize it's like, hey, do you actually own these cars or are these your fleet? When you're renting cars, you want to have a company that both owns the cars because the cars have to be registered in the company name in order to be covered by the insurance, because the insurance won't let you rent out third-party cars because they're charging you insurance, which is not cheap, for the risk of renting out an exotic car to random individuals who are obviously vetted by your company, but it's still a very high insurance policy. So what's the best way to get around that, right? Well, I'm not either going to not carry that insurance or I'm going to just rent out other cars that are not on the policy. But when you do that, the policies specifically exclude them from being covered. So there's no liability insurance, there's no backup coverage. If something goes sideways, if a guy gives you a car that isn't his and something happens and somebody gets hurt, you could lose a lot of money by getting sued personally, especially if it's your responsibility. Say you had a drink with dinner and you backed into somebody in the parking lot. There's no coverage. Your insurance isn't going to cover it because it's not technically a rental. You got some random guy's car. That guy's company doesn't have the right insurance. So now it's going to come back to you personally. So it's really important that you go through and make sure you're renting from a reputable and proper company. And part of that is asking that the car, or making sure when you look in the glove box that the name on the insurance and the name on the registration should match. So if it says Gotham Dream Cars, it's going to also say Gotham Dream Cars in the insurance card.
So let's step that down then from the luxury high-end space to something that's probably even more relatable on the travel side, right? How do you feel about someone going, they're traveling to Hawaii or they're traveling to California, wherever it may be, and they want to hop on Turo, and they're kind of renting a random guy's car. Yep. And I know Turo has its own kind of insurances and protections in place, and it's a pretty big company like an Airbnb, yep, right? So I'm sure there's protections, but being that you're in the rental car space yourself, and you can go on Turo and rent a McLaren or whatever it may be, what's your feedback or your thoughts on Turo and traveling?
Yeah, I've done a lot of videos on Turo because I just put up every one of my Turo experiences, because I'll rent Turo cars for any number of reasons, but it's not a rental company. And it's to treat it as such is probably your biggest mistake. I just went to rent a car a week ago. And when I went to rent the car, I get there, I drove 40 minutes out of my way to get it. And I get there and it's got absolutely bald tires on the back, like absolute baloney skins. It's completely unsafe. The cords are showing on the inside of the tires, so I don't know when they're about to give way. But any rain, you have zero traction from the back of a brand new BMW M4 Competition. So I can't drive that car. So I've then gone 40 minutes out of my way and I have to turn around 40 minutes to go back. A rental company, or like you go to a hotel, you could say, hey, this room's dirty. They can give you another one. This guy doesn't have any other cars. I'm on the side of a road somewhere picking up a car by myself. And I've planned all of my trade. It doesn't matter how long ago I booked that car. I show up and I'm stuck without a car now. What if I took an Uber from the airport to go get that and I'm stuck in some neighborhood and now I have to go find another vehicle, and Turo doesn't let you rebook another car until the other one's canceled. So now you can't even go find another car to get to that can book out. You're really stuck in that scenario. So Turo definitely has its pitfalls. And I've tried to give Turo feedback, right? I did an event up in Canada where I needed a 7-passenger car. And Enterprise, there was no big companies. I mean, there was no guaranteed models for a company in Canada. So I was like, all right, I can get the luxury full-size SUV, but I may get a 5-passenger. Who knows? So I went to Turo to guarantee myself a 7-passenger. And what ended up happening is I get there, there's body panels missing and it's damaged and it's filthy. And I'm like, I can't, this isn't what was pictured on the website. I told Turo, I'm like, you should have the most recent delivery photos from the previous rental from the owner. So at least it's not somebody trying to make it look bad. The owner's just taking photos around their car. So at least I know what condition something is in. Because again, I was stuck with that vehicle when I got that vehicle. So Turo has got a lot of shortcomings. There are opportunities for them to make it better. And having it's just there's no recourse effectively. They can penalize the host, but that doesn't you getting angry at somebody else doesn't fix my trip. And there's been a lot of frustration I've had over the years with Turo where people misrepresent something or they're not a company. They don't know that they have to maintain their car. I may not have even known his tires were bald because he doesn't know the look. He's got no knowledge as to how to maintain a car. He just knows that I bought it through. I got a lease on it and dumped it on the Turo, and hopefully eventually it pays for itself or somebody crashes it and they'll give me a check for it.
Got it. So Turo, hit or miss, basically.
It is, and it's you have to factor in a buffer when it comes to Turo. You have to factor in if you're on a tight schedule or if you need a specific car. If you're okay going with the flow, if you're okay getting a car and it's got a smashed up windshield and it's missing a fender or something like that, then it's, if you're just looking for something to go point A to point B, Turo's got some great deals. If you're looking to save money and get a nice sports car for cheaper than a proper company would charge you, go ahead. I mean, these people that put their cars on Turo are generally less concerned about mileage, and all they care about is making their car payment. And that's different because they don't have the same overhead a company has with the actual insurance, paying an actual commercial lease on a vehicle that the bank knows is being rented. They're just getting a personal lease or something like that, dumping it into the fleet, their Turo fleet, and then maybe 3 years from now, returning it back to the bank and saying, oh, thanks for the lease. They're trying to arbitrage their way through life. but that's got a lot more risk than a lot of people are aware of or care to yield to until it's too late.
Right, right. Absolutely. So, Rob, as we start heading in the direction of wrapping this one up, I want to talk through your travel company and luxury travel in general. And you do some really cool experiences. How do you prioritize? So this, and this is more so less about your company actually for this question, more about yourself. How do you prioritize where to splurge between the hotel, the experience, the flight, you know, where you're using your points to balance that out? How do you balance for yourself where to focus on the, what part of the trip is the most luxurious? Is it the travel? Is it the experience? Is it the, how do you define that or how do you navigate that?
I mean, this is a good example because we're doing our Germany trip. It really is where you, it's situational, right? It's always going to come down to value. And sometimes it's, we're restricted by just the size of the group that we have that we can't fit into certain hotels. And like the Mandarin Oriental, which we're partnered with the Mandarin Oriental and the Four Seasons, they may just not be able to accommodate 30 or 40 people in their hotel. Because a lot of the times when we're traveling to somewhere in peak season. And when we do that, we're restricted. Like going to Oktoberfest right now, I just had to audible last minute and switch our hotel. Because the hotel, when I went on TripAdvisor, I'm like, I've been to Munich plenty of times. I've been to Oktoberfest plenty of times. But I was like, we have to be walking distance to the fest, the beer festival. Because I don't want to deal with shuttles. I don't want to deal with the trains or anything like that. I just want to let people walk to and from. And we're usually in a 4 or 5 star hotel at the least. But proximity was very important. We found a hotel on TripAdvisor because I can't stay at every hotel always. And I found one. I was like, oh, great. And it was like right by the Marienplatz, which is the big tourist area. And then when we looked at the contract, it was somewhere else. I'm like, wait, is there two of them? Like, how, or where, did they give us a contract for the wrong one? Because we had to add more and more rooms. And then I look and I'm like, oh, this hotel is in Selding, which is like an hour's walk away from Oktoberfest. Nobody's walking an hour. So now I'm going to have to get shuttles to run people back and forth. So last minute, I'm trying, when even like a Holiday Inn is 500 euros a night, which is nuts. I need to not only get a 4 or 5 star hotel, but I have to get a 4 or 5 star hotel in prime location during Oktoberfest on a peak weekend where the hotel would normally be 130 euros a night. I'm spending 700 euros a night per room. So, I mean, there's a lot going on that, that I always have to manage in a situation like that, but I put a value on the experience, right? The experience for people, it's worth spending more to stay at close to Oktoberfest and then do a good experience at Oktoberfest, right? There were cheaper options for us to experience Oktoberfest, like less cool tents or whatever, like just different experiences. I said, we got to be in the Hofbräu tent and we've got to be front and center. And that costs through resellers, it was like 5X what I paid in the past, but that's the experience people are paying for. So sometimes you have to splurge for that. But then when we're staying in Strasbourg, France or something like that, we don't have to go as crazy. We can do a more Bavarian style dinner. It doesn't always have to be to the nines everywhere you go. You can balance it. So people like some downtime. They don't want to go to a steakhouse every time we go out. But you want to go eat some authentic German food or some Bavarian food somewhere. Have some schnitzel and pretzels and beer. You don't have to go everywhere to the number one ranked restaurant or a Michelin star restaurant everywhere you go. So it's always a balance. It's really about curating a good experience all around, and not necessarily everything has to be like the spend doesn't equate to experience. And that's what a lot of people don't realize, is that you don't have to spend a lot. When I did a vacation for my birthday with my friends, we just grabbed like a random vineyard in Northern Italy in Piemonte. And we ended up taking over the whole vineyard for the night. And they've got 12 hotel rooms. We bought them all out. And we're like, oh, let's go out to dinner so we don't have to eat there. We get there. We're like having some wine. They're like, would you like us to make you dinner? We're like, yeah, sure. So they go to the market. They bring it back. We had the greatest time of our lives. And it was for 15 people, 12 rooms. We had 30 bottles of wine. Don't ask. And the 12 rooms and a full like 6-course dinner and all the wine came to like 2,100 euros.
Wow.
I mean, you do that, that's $170, $180 a person for hotel rooms, food, wine, breakfast. And it was just like, wow, that was like a tremendous value. I would go back there, even just casually, I would go back there. So you'd always have to measure what you're getting in exchange. And especially if we're going to a destination during a peak time and we're only going to be sleeping there, we're not going to be doing very much, or people are going to be out and about doing something else. You just need a bed. Sometimes if we're going somewhere where you want a spa facilities or something like that, because we have more downtime, then you look for a different vibe. So there's always so many variables, and that's effectively what people are paying me for, is my ability to weed through that and put together a spectacular experience.
So I know when we were talking off air that you had, you know, said your Germany trip is already sold out, so there's no spots there. But I'm curious, your company's called Adventure Drives for travel. So you talked a lot about Oktoberfest and the hotel and the beer and the schnitzel. Where's the driving come in?
So, I mean, that one's great because we're landing in Frankfurt and we're going to the Nürburgring. So the Nürburgring is a world famous track where it's pretty much used as the benchmark for all manufacturers and hypercar makers and everyone who modifies cars as to how fast you can go around this circuit. So it's always the benchmark. Even U.S. companies, like, they put the sticker on their production car, like the Viper ACR can lap the Nürburgring in 7 minutes and 2 seconds. And it's like, it's a source of pride. So that's a benchmark track. We're going to be staying there for 2 nights, and that's how we're starting the trip. We're going to be driving on the Autobahn, which is the world famous German highway system with a lot of unrestricted speed sections. So, I mean, because we're doing that, we've got everyone renting nice cars with good top speeds so they can really go enjoy that. We're going to the Porsche Museum. We're having lunch there, going to Stuttgart. That's a very bucket list. This is all like bucket list stuff for car people. Like, oh, if I go to Germany, I want to find my way over to the Porsche Museum. I want to go to the Nürburgring. I want to go drive on the Autobahn. And we're putting all these together and then doing other things along the way that are going to make it a pretty unforgettable trip for 5 days.
Very cool. So I got to ask you, Rob, for yourself personally, so not through the business or company or anything like that, what is next for you as far as travel, bucket list destination? Where are you looking to go? Maybe you're going to redeem some points for it, maybe not. But where's that next kind of trip that's on the radar for yourself or your family, whatever it may be, that's not tied to the company?
I've got two or three coming up. I've got one for my friend's birthday, probably going to go to Scotland again. She's always wanted to go there and she's turning 40. So we're going to go do some whiskey tasting and everything up in Scotland in October. In October, I still haven't booked it, but I launched a luggage company and my production is being done in Vietnam. So I'm going to fly to Vietnam to go document and watch the initial production run, at least the first one. And then I've got two kids, they're 8 and 12. Instead of doing those ball pit parties and everything like that for 20 of their friends, it ended up costing me, and they were both born in the same week, 4 years apart.
Go ahead.
So it's always like a $5,000 week of like nonsense ball pit and pizza parties. I'm like, next year we're going to go somewhere. So I'm bringing them to Italy for 10 days for their birthdays in May. So I do a lot of both recreational travel and then professional travel. But I'm going to bring my parents, my wife, my kids to Italy. We're flying into Milan back and forth. Again, we're flying on Neos Air, and I didn't even put an upgrade bid in. And I think we got 6 tickets round trip with all taxes and fees to Europe into and out of Milan for $3,600 for 6 tickets. That's $600 a piece to go round trip to Europe.
Wow.
So that leaves plenty of money on the table to upgrade at least or look for options to upgrade, or just plenty of money to pay for the rest of the trip. So
for a trip like that, is it on your radar to like look at the hotels in that area and where can I use points, maybe pull some Chase to Hyatt properties or whatever it may be to use points? Or are you really trying to get the eclectic villas and wineries and some things that may not be a hotel points type stay?
Yeah, I mean, I generally don't use points for hotels. I've never seen the redemptions, especially through Chase or Amex, as really being worth it. I've traditionally used those points for other things. The best value I've seen with points is to transfer them one-to-one over to airline miles. And so I'll either do that or I'll do when it does like a 1.5%, 1.5 times redemption for cash back. I'll do that, or not cash back, but like certain purchases I can use 1.5 times redemption. Right. I'll use them for that. And I get the most value out of the points at that point in time.
That's awesome. Rob, this has been an incredible. You've got a wealth of knowledge and sincerely appreciate your time. I know that you're a busy guy and you're running businesses at multiple fronts. So the fact that you carved out some time today is an absolute pleasure. I've got a couple last things before we wrap this one up.
Sure.
The first one is, how can the listeners connect with you? You have all the channels, you have all the businesses. So I'm going to give you a chance here, plug all the things. I know you also have an upcoming trip as well that sounds pretty cool that we were talking about. So I'd love to hear about that because I know there are a couple spots open in that one. So I'm going to take a step back and let us know, where can we follow you? And then what are some of the things that our listeners might want to plug into you on that you have coming down the pipeline?
No problem. You can get me on Instagram at Rob Ferretti. It's just my name, Rob Ferretti. My rental companies, I've got Gotham Dream Cars in New York and Metro Dream Cars, also in New York, same company. I've got Super Speeders. Rob is my YouTube channel. You can catch me on there. You can catch me on Facebook at Super Speeders. Snapchat Stories, also Super Speeders. And then TikTok is also Super Speeders. So that's the brand you can look up for all the digital content. If you want to do any of the drives, we've got one coming up October 9th through 13th. It's going to start in Charleston. Go up to the newly paved Tail of the Dragon, up through the back of the Dragon, over to the Greenbrier in West Virginia, and then kicking over to DC. So that's going to be a fun one. That's my company called Adventure Drives. And if you're interested in any of the luggage stuff that I'm going to be doing, I've got a luggage company called Flipside Luggage, which I've developed a suitcase that's going to be up for sale starting Q4 of this year, which separates your clean and your dirty laundry with a movable partition in the center. So if you like to travel clean, got you covered.
Awesome.
Well, perfect, Rob. Last two things before we wrap this one up. First one, who else should we have on the show? So I always like to ask that. Who else would be a good fit in the travel space, the points and miles space, just whether they're an influencer, they're a business owner that you think would really be able to add some value on the show?
I mean, have you ever heard of GeoBreeze Travel?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. She may be a good one. She's well into the points and miles space. She makes a living off of helping people maximize their points and miles. So you may want to reach out to her.
Perfect. We could do that. And then last thing, Rob, any final thoughts, anything you want to add that you didn't mention or anything else you want to throw out there to our listeners?
It's more of a general thought, but don't be impressed by people that fly first class or fly on private jets. Like a lot of people tend to get clouded. Wow, look how great everything is. But it's a lot of it's fake. And even if they have money, just some of them may still be a-holes. So don't envy people just because of how much money they have. Just be a nice person and enjoy your life. So don't look at those superficial things and give people more credibility like they're anything. Anyone better than you or anything more special than anyone else?
Rob, I love that. I think that's great advice. You know, on the thing with social media, right, is everyone likes to flaunt the perfection that is everything. And that's not the reality, right? And, you know, we try to be as transparent as possible, right? With our trip, something goes wrong, it rains on us, we have a delay, whatever it may be. Try to be transparent. Not everyone does. And a lot of people, like you said, are out there just kind of flaunting what they have. And honestly, most people that really have it, they typically don't flaunt it, right? Never even know they have it. So, Rob, I super appreciate you being on the show today. This has been great talking with you, chopping it up, talking both travel, talking cars, talking points and miles. So thank you so much for being on the show today. I appreciate your time for sure.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. For the listeners out there, if you enjoyed the knowledge that Rob brought, please make sure to follow him on all his channels. We're going to link all of that in the show notes as well. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, reach out with any questions. And as always, we'll catch you in the next episode. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop.
head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I, I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick, single-topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.